We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm here in the offices of Gray, Gray & Gray. We've been here all month, thanks to the efforts of our accounting reporter, Rich Hershen, who's to my right. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Rich, you know, every week I look forward to our phone calls with Mark Furman, our business reporter from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi there, Jeffrey. Hi there, Rich. Great to be with you.
It's good to have you again.
Right. Mark, I'm not going to guess, but I could. What's the subject today?
Well, you'll be shocked to know, Jeffrey, that the Flightgate is still with us, and there's a lot going on, and I wanted to bring everybody up to date.
That's the story.
We have... If you recall, just a brief summary, the commissioner suspended Brady for four games. He appealed. The appeal goes to the commissioner. Not surprisingly, he affirmed the suspension that he had made, although on different grounds than the original suspension. Judge Berman in the United States District Court in New York overturned the decision, accusing Roger Goodell of invoking, reaching beyond what was allowed under the collective bargaining agreement, and him imposing his own brand of industrial justice. The Players Association and Brady appealed to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in a divided opinion. 2-1, a majority overturned Judge Berman, reinstated Brady's suspension. The dissenting judge happens to be the chief judge of the Second Circuit Court of Appeal. So the Players Association and Brady brought in additional counsel to work with their existing counsel. And they brought in Ted Olson and his law firm. Mr. Olson was represented Bush in Bush v. Gore, which some people think decided the 2000 election. He's a high-profile attorney. And a request was filed for a rehearing by the panel, the three-judge panel, or a rehearing by the entire group of judges of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which is extraordinarily rare that that you would have the entire bench hear a case. So usually the Circuit Court of Appeals decides cases in panels of three judges. That's what happened in this case. But the Players Association and Brady, their only options is to request a rehearing, which is a reconsideration by the same panel, or in the alternative, a request for a hearing by the entire court. It's called en banc, which means heard by every judge on the court. So here's the argument. The argument made by Brady is that the commissioner's actions were totally unwarranted and run roughshod over the rule of law, that Goodell superintended this multi-million-dollar investigation purportedly about football deflation, falsely representing that the investigation was, quote, independent, close quote, that it turned out later that there was nothing independent about it, according to the players, in that the in-house counsel of the NFL worked on the Wells report with the outside counsel for the NFL, including revising drafts that led to the Wells report being issued, which was the basis for the initial four-game suspension. So the Players Association and Brady call it Goodell's bias, agenda-driven, and self-approving appeal ruling, and says it violates fundamental fairness, that it wasn't really an appeal at all, although it was supposed to be, because when Goodell just changed the basis of the punishment on native on grounds that weren't part of the original decision. They also complained that he never even talked about what was bargained for penalties for equipment-related violations, things like the use of sticker. Instead, Goodell applied, said this was the equivalent of the steroid policy, violating the steroid policy, wasn't an equipment violation, but he didn't talk about equipment violation. So they also argued that it was in conflict with the decision of the Court of Appeals, with the majority, is in conflict with key decisions of other appellate courts, including the United States Supreme Court. One principle being that an appeal to an arbitrator only can consider the original basis for the discipline. It's not a brand new trial where the arbitrator can impose discipline for totally different reasons. They say that it's a violation of existing precedent to not consider the equipment issues in this case. So they're appealing for this on the basis that this is not only going to impact the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, but the argument is that it's going to create havoc nationwide in arbitration cases that are going to lead to complete uncertainty that allow arbitrators to decide cases contrary to the collective bargaining agreement authority granted to them, and to dole out their own brand of industrial justice, which has been held not to allow, they're not allowed to do. So, in addition, the Patriots filed a brief, it's called an amicus brief, supporting Brady. This puts the Patriots directly in conflict with the National Football League Management Council and the National Football League, and that's a huge step. You know, you'll recall years ago, Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders sued the NFL, but, you know, Bob Kraft is an insider with the NFL, and here he is taking a strong legal position, not just a press release, but a legal position that this was a completely unfair process of the league, that the league's conduct from the outset reflects less a search for the truth than the pursuit of a predetermined result, and to defend a report which, despite no direct evidence of tampering or Mr. Brady's involvement, was relied on to impose penalties with no precedent or correlation to the alleged offense. There's some very strong language in that. I also wanted to say that on the same, that there was also a brief filed by, I think it's approximately 18 professors of physics and engineering who say that the laws of physics contradict the claims of the NFL, that footballs lose pressure naturally in cold weather. There's no such as a football, moves from a warm environment to a cold one, it deflates. It happens naturally. They call it, this is not tampering, it's science. And it pervades NFL games. Games are routinely played with footballs that fall below the league's minimum pressure requirement. And so they argue that the ruling was based not on scientific proof, but rather on surmise, and that there's no proof of wrongdoing. And it's totally scientifically unsound to base a punitive ruling on a supposed amount of a few pounds per square inch in a football, and it's a completely unfair result. So that's what was filed. You know, what they're trying to do, everybody's trying to do, is interest the Second Circuit Court of Appeals to take on the case in bonk, very rare, and we'll see how the courts react. We have an interesting situation that since Brady's decision, two judges agreed with Brady, two judges disagreed with Brady. Unfortunately for Brady, the two who disagreed happened to be the majority at the Court of Appeals. And if the district court had disagreed with Brady, but two of the three judges in the Court of Appeals had agreed with Brady, it'd be the NFL who'd be behind the eight ball, facing an uphill battle to get the court to rehear the case or consider it unblocked. So that's the current state of the world, Jeffrey and Rich.
I have a couple of questions because we have limited time. One, do you expect the Players Association to also make a filing as the Patriots did, because they have the most to gain with this in terms of proving that they are actually defending player rights? And this is really more than...
the Players Association did make a filing, and it was with Brady on May 23rd. So their appeal and the amicus brief were filed by the New England Patriots and by these numerous professors trying to debunk the scientific basis for the Wells, what was found by Goodell in the Wells report.
And do you think that Brady is ultimately realizing that he has a minimal chance at this level, that he's positioning, this is what I think, to go all the way, that this is about an individual who's being picked on by a big corporation from his perspective, and he's ready to go to battle with them all the way to the Supreme Court, and this is what they're laying groundwork for, just in case?
Well, I think they're showing that this is about more than Tom Brady, that this is about the power of the commissioner, which is a big deal. This has been, I would not be surprised if Brady's team, if they were unsuccessful, petitioned the United States Supreme Court to accept the case under one of the limited numbers of cases they take to review this. The United States Supreme Court has been very interested in enforcing arbitration agreements in all sorts of contexts that involve businesses. Even to the point that waivers of class action lawsuits as part of arbitration clauses have been upheld. This, of course, is different. I think it's the argument that has to be made by the Players Association and Brady is this isn't just about football, it isn't just about Tom Brady, it's about the whole arbitration system and the powers of an arbitrator and how you deal with an arbitrator who's an employee of one of the parties. That's what makes this kind of unique. Although I have seen it before in my law practice, the idea of not having a true neutral as the arbitrator is part of what makes this interesting. So that I think that may be why the NFL made such a big deal publicly
Mark, we've gone a little bit over our time. All very interesting. If somebody wants to get help or insights from you on contract law, labor law, mediation, how would they find you?
I can be reached at 617-218-2025 or mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark, and we hope you continue to track this story for us. I find it in particular very interesting. All my years as a management consultant, I love this whole labor, big business, individual issue of rights and what's the best way to handle this. So I want to thank you for the subject, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Thank you, Rich.
Again, this is Jeffrey Davis. We're at the offices of Gray, Gray & Gray. I want to thank Rich Hirschen. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.